You're tuned in to Radio 14 KMHL as we kick off our SMSU campus update. Joining us in studio, as per usual, Marcy Olson. Marcy, how are we doing today?
I am doing fantastically.
Especially since we got your microphone fixed just before we did this little chat.
That's always good. That's always good.
It is nice to hear from you rather than just kind of...
like pantomime?
Yeah,
which
pantomime.
Which wouldn't really help the listeners one bit, would it?
Very difficult on the radio, I found.
Yes.
Also joining us in studio is Dr. Ken Murphy. As we got all sorts of fun stuff coming up here just around the corner. First of all, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And we are going to be talking about some fun things at the planetarium here in a bit. But first of all, let's learn a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, some of your background, and how you came to SMSU.
Well, I came in 1999, so I'm hitting my 25th year now. So it's really hard to believe I'm transitioning into one of the old folks around the campus now. Anyway, I came here from USD in Vermilion, where I taught physics and astronomy there. And I also replaced Dr. Roger Reedy, who ran the planetarium for a very long time before I got here. And so he overlapped with me for a year, so he is able to train me in on what I do. And so that was a big help. But sadly, we lost Roger back in June of 2022. So I know a lot of listeners probably remember him as the beloved planetarium director who really got the program started.
Yeah, some pretty big shoes to fill there. What really got your first interest in physics?
Well, I've always been drawn to science and engineering, and particularly astronomy. So I easily gravitated towards physics. And a lot of people don't realize that astronomy is kind of a subfield of physics. And so I just kind of slipped into the role with my training.
And then, of course, as you mentioned, some pretty big shoes to fill with the planetarium. How has that been going?
It's going very well. It's a fun job. And really, I've since I came in 99, there's been a revolution in the industry that has taken place. When I arrived, we were dealing with slide projectors, film in the dark room, tape reels, and it has now become digital. And so that's been a huge learning curve, but an exciting one at the same time.
Now, you've been hosting shows that help people learn more about the solar eclipse, two over the past weekend and two more coming up here on March 29th here in just a couple days, and April 4th as well. Can you tell us about that show?
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's one that we call Lights Out, Whys, Wonders, and Wows. And it's actually, that particular show was developed at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And I happen to know the director there and work with him on other projects. But we obtained that show, and then I add a live component as well. And in fact, over half of the show is live, where I actually use the planetarium system to witness the eclipse from space. And we talk about all the details about timing and how they work. So in the show itself, it talks about the Earth-Moon-Sun relationship and the size and distances that allow eclipses to occur. And we also tackle some kind of tricky questions like, why don't we have eclipses every month? Because you would think we would, because they happen when we have new moon and full moon. That's when eclipses are kind of possible. But why don't they happen all the time? And so the answer is that the moon's orbit's tilted a little bit, so the alignment doesn't work out usually. We talk about the history of eclipses, and they go way back to early cultures that looked up at the sky, tried to figure them out, and a few cultures actually did figure out the pattern of when they occur. They may not have understood exactly why and what's going on, but they figured out the pattern, which is amazing in itself. In fact, there's a great story in history that there, back in 500 BC, there was a great battle taking place between the Medes and the Midians, and a solar eclipse happened during the battle, and everyone freaked out and just kind of laid down their weapons and went home because they just didn't know how to process it. So that's how incredible these events can be. And then the rest of the show, we talk about the science of eclipses and how eclipses are, they can happen anywhere in space and the universe. Anytime you have a light source like a sun or a star, any object wandering in front of it really eclipses some of that light. So it's a common phenomenon, but to get it just like right, like what we'll see in April, is is phenomenal.
Now, I do remember the safety aspect, because was it a year or two ago with the glasses? You're supposed to wear the glasses looking up at the solar eclipse. Can you kind of explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, safety is important. And that's another thing we cover in our shows, too, is how to view this safely. Some people are under the mistaken impression that, well, the moon's blocking most of the sun. I can look at it, or maybe I can grab a pair of sunglasses and that'll protect my eyes. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sunglasses are not recommended. In fact, these glasses we sell in the planetarium that protect your eyes block out 99.9% of the sun's light, making it safe enough to watch. Sunglasses don't do that. They let way too much in, and it will actually scar your retina. And I guess it would cause maybe a souvenir you could keep for the rest of your life, having a blind spot on your retina. But I wouldn't recommend that. I would go for the glasses and keep the glasses as your souvenir, not eye damage.
Oh, yeah, so let's just reemphasize, do not look at the sun and do not use sunglasses to look at the eclipse.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes people ask, well, could I just layer them up and get like 5 or 10 layers of sun? No. You don't want that.
Do you really want to put 5 pairs of sunglasses on your face too? No.
But I do also get the question, well, what about welding, welding helmet? And that would be appropriate. In fact, if you have like a number 14 or darker welding glass helmet, that would be appropriate.
I was just telling Ken about that. I did that as a kid in the 1979 eclipse when I was 8 years old.
You took your old man's welding mask?
Yes.
That's awesome. That is so cool. I do want to know about the upcoming dates to attend this show. When is it again?
Okay, we are going to be presenting the show 2 more times, and that'll be this Friday, which happens to be Good Friday at 7 p.m., and then the following Thursday at 7 p.m. as well. So those are the final 2 dates. I'm doing several private shows with groups, community groups that want to come in and see the show itself. But those are the 2 public times that I would recommend people if they want to learn more about it.
And once again, for our listeners, this is the show about the eclipses. These are not the dates where an actual eclipse is going to occur, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. This is the show where you can be ready for it when it finally does come on April 8th.
Yeah, April 8th. So in just a couple of weeks.
And Ken was talking a little bit about how rare eclipses are and the different types of eclipses. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I found that fascinating.
Yeah, the rarity is really, really incredible. In fact, there are less than 1 in 1,000 people that ever live the Earth that ever get to witness the eclipse. Maybe a better way to put it is, of people that live the Earth, less than 1 in 1,000 ever witness totality. Now, we won't have totality here in Minnesota, so don't get your hopes up that high for totality. But we will see the sun become approximately 75% blocked by the moon. But for those that want to see totality, it's not real far away, considering how rare it is. And probably the nearest point is the southern tip of Illinois or Missouri is where I would go if you want to drive the least. A lot of people are heading to Texas because the odds of clear skies are a little higher there. And so Dallas-Fort Worth is a popular place, maybe not right in the city, but in the surrounding area would be a good place. Or Arkansas will be pretty good. The further to the southwest, the better chance of clear skies.
And how far is this for totality? How big is the area for somebody to see this? Is it all the way down to Mexico? Is it pretty far out west and east, or is it kind of just that central area there?
Well, really what it is, the moon is blocking some of the sunlight, and since the moon is much smaller than the sun, the shadow is very small compared to the Earth. And in this particular eclipse, it's only about 123 miles across.
Okay.
So it's this little spot of that, you could think of it as a diameter, but it travels. So it moves, it's going to come up through Mexico, enter into Texas, and then it'll clip a little bit of Oklahoma, Missouri, or Arkansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and then it'll hit a little top part of Pennsylvania, New York, will get it. And
like Buffalo area of New York?
Oh, yep, right over the top of Buffalo.
Yep. So it's kind of a strip that passes over like the Texas across the United States, 123 miles wide.
Yes.
People can visualize that. Yeah.
Yes. And then New Hampshire and Vermont will experience it, and Maine. And then it kind of goes over the ocean and disappears.
All right. One big question here for the folks that have never been to it. Where is the planetarium?
It's in the Science and Math Building at SMSU. It's kind of on the north end. And if folks are coming, I would park in that northmost parking lot. We call it the B parking lot. There's also a map you can find, a campus map. If you go online, you'll be able to find the Science and Math Building, and the map will kind of show you where the best nearest parking spot is or parking lot.
And I brought my child to SMSU for some swimming lessons for the last couple of weeks, and they do have signage there in the hallways pointing to the planetarium as well. So you should be able to find it. Even if you walk into the wrong doors, there should be a sign.
We try to help people find things. Yes, we do. We want people to have a good experience when they come to campus.
Well, we had a good experience with the swimming lessons, but that's for another discussion. We'll have to bring in the swim instructor for our next chat, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good.
Well, we should note that it's going to be a while for another eclipse.
Yeah.
So you don't want to miss this one.
Yeah, and just to go over how often these happen, kind of the full story is that eclipses hit the Earth about once every 16 months, these total solar eclipses. But because the Earth is large and we have most of its oceans, they happen over the oceans quite frequently, or other countries on the other side of the world. And so the ones we're most interested in here are the ones that hit the contiguous 48 states. And so if we look at those eclipses, the previous one was in 2017, and there may be some listeners out there that actually traveled to totality. And the most popular destination was Nebraska, and that's where I was that day. Prior to 2017, it was 1979. So that gives you a sense of how rare they are. Now, in the future, looking forward, after the April eclipse that's coming, we haven't had totality in the 48 connected states. We won't have it till 2045. And then if you're looking way out in the future, there is one that hits Minnesota. So the path goes right through North Dakota at a diagonal, goes through Fargo-Moorhead, down into the Twin Cities, so right across the heart of Minnesota. But the wait time for that one, that'll happen in 2099. So get that on your calendar.
All right. So at 107 years old, I'm going to be checking out that eclipse.
Yeah, so it's way out there. Even our little kids that come to the planetarium, they kind of, what?
So yeah, now I can see why folks are making travel plans for this, because this isn't, if I miss it this year, there'll be another one here in a couple of years.
Yeah. And there are other sorts of eclipses that come along. Nothing as dramatic. So we'll have other partials. They'll come along. We have something called an annular eclipse, and we had one of those back in October. And that's where the moon does not quite block. It lines up perfectly, but it doesn't block the sun completely, because the moon's distance changes. And when the moon is further away in its orbit, then it's not quite big enough to block out the sun. And that's the irony, is that we live in a solar system where the moon's apparent size and the sun's apparent size are almost identical, like almost spot on. They're about a half a degree across. So that's what makes them very peculiar. So when that moon is a little further away, you get a ring of light called the annulus, and that's an annular eclipse. And this past October, there was an annular eclipse during homecoming.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Marcy, it looked like you were about to say something.
No, and then it's just very exciting stuff. We've had so much science on the radio show this spring. It's quite awesome.
Yeah, and it looks like you're going to have an astronomer helping you out here as well.
Yeah, actually, she's not going to be there in person, but the show that we present, she's there. She's basically in the film that we will show. And she's the narrator of the film, and she talks about it. And basically, what she's done is written a book. And the planetarium show, the recorded part of the show, is based on the book that she wrote. And that's also the title of our show, which is Lights Out, Whys, Wonders, and Wows. That's the name of the book, and that's the name of the show that we'll see.
All right. And is there a cost to attend?
Yeah, we charge $5 a person, and we only sell tickets at the door. So make sure you get there early. If it happens that we get an overflowing crowd, we will ask the ones that didn't get in to wait around. And we have a very fun science museum right across the hall. And then we will just do some back-to-back shows till everyone gets through.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And once again, also, you know, SMSU students, I see they get in free with their student ID. So students, come on down for a free show.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And then we will sell the glasses too. They're $4 a piece at the show. You don't have to buy them. Some people already have them from 2017. But if you need a pair of glasses, we'll be selling them after the show.
I'm pretty sure I lost mine. Yeah.
Going to have to come to a planetarium to get some glasses.
Just like all my sunglasses, it seems. They end up getting lost. Even the fancy eclipse sunglasses.
Well, keep them lost during the eclipse.
Right.
So once again, those eclipse glasses available for just $4 each. And if folks have any questions about any of the fun stuff happening at the planetarium, how can they find that information?
Well, we have a website and we also have a Facebook page. And the Facebook page tends to be a little more popular. It's easier to find. And that's facebook.com/SMSU Planetarium. And our website is actually, you can go to smsu.edu and I just do a search and it'll take you right there.
All right. Very good. Just search planetarium and you'll find it.
Lots of great resources there in addition to all of the upcoming events.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ken Murphy, I appreciate the time here today and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you very much.
Once again, that's Dr. Ken Murphy, physics professor and director of the SMSU Planetarium, joining us for a chat on that cool upcoming program talking all about eclipses and other fun stuff. Marcy.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
Well, just a recap, the upcoming shows in the planetarium, Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Thursday, April 4th at 7 p.m. And the eclipse, where we will see about 75% totality, is Monday, April 8th. So I'm sure if you get on the internet and Google that, you'll find some interesting information in addition to what we've learned from Dr. Murphy today. A reminder that because of the weather, our jazz ensemble concerts had to be postponed. Our guest artist could not make it to Minnesota. So we will keep you up to date on when we get those rescheduled. But be sure they will be rescheduled. Also, we've got accounting professor Will Thomas and his wife Candace are teaching a master naturalist course that starts on April 5th. So email Will Thomas to find out more about that. And here's some exciting stuff. We have our employee recognition ceremony on Wednesday. And this is recognizing milestones for our employees.
Like 25 years, maybe?
25 years. I've got a 30-year milestone that I've hit this year. It's exciting stuff. But we'll be honoring retirees and honoring people who've been there 2 years, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and 35 years.
Wow.
So that's very exciting. And looking ahead, we've got a theater production coming up April 10th through the 13th and Sunday, April 14th, and that is An Inspector Calls. And we will have guests from the theater on next week to talk more about that.
Very good. I like the tease again. You did it.
I know. I'm getting things organized so we know ahead of time who's coming on the show.
Very good stuff. Marcy, I appreciate the update, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks for having us.